The following presentation is brought to you by Heart Brain
Media Group. Capturing the moments that make life great. Let's go, girls.
It's about growing personally and professionally.
What's the one thing that really drives you, that really drives your passion?
It's about climbing the ladder or opening a new door.
Too many people give up too early on their dream.
It's about enjoying your professional journey.
I enjoy what I do.
It's about keeping things real.
So the interview is an interview. I like this.
It's all about you.
But I knew that there was something else I wanted to do with my life. I knew I wanted to help people.
This is Up or Out with Connie Fife.
We love your voice. You need to be on radio.
And now, your host, Connie Fife.
Well, welcome. It's Connie Fife, and you are listening to Up or Out with Connie. I am really super excited today because we have this really fabulous, awesome guest on the show today, and we are going to be talking about how you build a business and just not a glorified job. And that's totally something that I could relate to. I know when I first started in this business, I mean, I came out of corporate as a CEO, but I had no idea and what it took to build your own business, something that had your own name on it, your own brand. And I tripped over myself a lot. And it wasn't until my coach at the time, who was Dan Miller, said, you know, he asked me, he said, are you all in or do you just have a toe in the water? And I thought, wow, I am all in. I am going to make this thing happen. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today. So before we get there, let's share the quote of the day. And that quote is, you don't build a business, you build people, then people build the business. And that comes from Zig Ziglar, none other than the Zig Ziglar. So it is time to turn up the volume because it is time for WCONNIE. And always stay tuned to the end of the show because you don't want to miss any of the exciting, good stuff, all those giveaways that we have for you. So here's a challenge question for today. Does your business scale? Now, whether you're still sitting in the corporate office or you've decided to move out and start building your own business, how do you scale your business? Now, when I was looking at this, and the one story that always reminded me was from Bill Gates, how he, you know, he just plowed piles of money into developing the first copy of the Microsoft Office. Okay. I mean, who doesn't use Microsoft Office? I mean, most of us do. But the beauty of it was that each additional copy of that software program costs next to nothing to produce. Now, we are paying a lot of money for that, but that's what you call scaling up. How do you scale up your business? How do you create something that makes a difference between that modest wealth or those obscene riches and really create a business and not just a job? And again, that's what today's show is all about. But before we jump into that, I do need to take a really quick sponsor break. So hang in there and we'll be right back. Hi, this is Connie Fife, your unstoppable diva, your host of Up or Out with Connie. I am thrilled to be a headline show on C-Suite Network, where you can grow your brand, grow your tribe, and be unstoppable. We are the hottest podcast for entrepreneurs, C-level executives, and market leaders. And you can hear me each week right here on the C-Suite Network. Also on Conscious Business Network, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, and over 900 stations around the globe. Be sure to follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Thanks for listening. Be bold, be connected, and be unstoppable. And we're back and you're listening to Up or Out with Connie. First of all, I have to give a big shout out because my brother's birthday is today. So happy birthday, Peter. And ooh, hang in there another year. You're just going to keep on going. But I know I'm still older than you. But I did have to say that. So let's just jump right into the show. So it is now my pleasure to introduce Aaron Young, who is a lifelong entrepreneur, or Aaron, as you said to me earlier, a bootstrap entrepreneur. Love that. He's a trusted advisor to CEOs and business owners, and he's the creator of the Unshackled owner. It's a program for entrepreneurs who are looking to build a business and not just have that glorified job. He's the chairman and CEO of Laughlin Associates. It's a 44-year-old company, and that he has helped develop over 100,000 entrepreneurs get started, grow, and profit from their business. And it's given Aaron the ideal vantage point to observe the common mistakes and the successes that we're seeing in so many entrepreneurial business today. And he's had a hand in that. So Aaron, welcome to the show, because we are all eager to know how you are making this happen.
Well, Connie, it's so nice to be here with you. Thanks for bringing me on. And yeah, I'm looking forward to sharing whatever you know your audience. So whatever you want to ask me, let's dive into it and let's give them some real value.
Okay, well then let's just jump right in there. So I know that you're doing a program, the Unshackled Owner, mm-hmm. and it's for entrepreneurs that want to build business. And again, not just that glorified job. The one thing, I have whiteboards all over my office, and I have on the one whiteboard, fortune or fame. Whenever I'm doing something, I bounce it off of that. Okay, is it going to make me fortune or is it going to give me fame? Well, you know what? I'm not going after the fame. I'm not looking for that glorified job because I want the fortune. And I figure if I get that fortune is going to buy the fame for me. So we don't need to go worry about that. So how are you helping entrepreneurs find that fortune and scale their business?
Well, you know, I talk to business owners all the time, and they're always expressing similar, whether it's an entrepreneurial business or it's a somebody who's in a significant corporate position. Most of those people that I've met, at least, they feel like the more successful they get, mm-hmm. the more they lose their life, the more they lose their personal life. Now, the big shift, of course, is when you learn the actual step-by-step recipe mm-hmm. that will help you build a business that gets out of startup mode quickly and into more mature mode. When you can get a company that's mature,
okay,
and this takes design, right? You got to build it, and mm-hmm. it takes effort to build it. But if you build it, what happens is you begin, and you know this as a CEO, you begin to sort of replace yourself in most of the jobs, most of the work, and you become more of a director, more of a chairman, less right. of chief cook and bottle washer.
Right.
The problem is most of the business owners that I've ever met, even if they're running a $100 million company, mm-hmm. mostly the founders are the bottleneck to their own life, their own success. You know, they get in their own way, but they don't want to let go. They still want to have their fingerprints on everything in the business. And there is a system. I guess I'm a lazy enough guy that I learned from way back when I was a youngster how to build something where it wasn't relying on me being in the middle of it every day, but I could still direct it. It's my vision. I could make money from it, but I wasn't a slave to it.
Well, somebody told me a long time ago that especially starting out and having my own entrepreneurial business. I mean, when I was running a major corporation, I had teams of people reporting to me. And I could just, you know, if I had a marketing form I had to fill out, I could just send it to the marketing department and say, take care of this. And, you know, then when you become an entrepreneur, it changes. And like you said, initially you're doing everything. And then it comes a point where you realize, hey, wait a minute. And that's when someone said to me, I heard them say, they said, hire the person who's the expert in what they do and you stay being the expert of what you do. And what I'm really good at is really looking at that high 900-foot view and saying, okay, this is what we need to do within the company. And why I drive people crazy is because I have this vision of what I want it to be, and I give it to somebody else and say, okay, make it work. You know, so they're like, okay, let me see if we could do that for you. So you need to find that balance with it too. So when you're talking and when you're working with these entrepreneurs on how they build their business, that is just not a glorified job. I mean, how do you get them to change that mindset to think about that, to look at it differently?
Well, so a lot of what I'm going to say will probably not be some giant revelation. The reality is that I learned this stuff from other people as I was coming up over the last 34 years. Mm-hmm. But the big difference is some people learn it and then they make notes in a notebook, but they never right. do it. And then what I've done is done it over and over and over and over again.
Right.
And so then I can teach it. The first step is always, in my opinion at least, is always having an absolute clear vision of what the outcome is that you're trying to achieve. And what I find is that most people in business are busy trying to make the next sale, make the next deal, do great follow through, do great, you know, service delivery, whatever. They're trying to create a new, you know, they get behind some new technology they're trying to create.
Right.
But without a specific idea of what is it that we're trying to get done, like, well, how will we know the race is finished? What does it look like at the finish line? I had this conversation with a very successful Harvard MBA, brilliant guy who's done some really great companies. And he was telling me about a new product he was putting together. And he was very excited about the product. And I said, who's the buyer for this?
Right.
And he's like, well, I don't exactly know. We just have all these disparate pieces and we can package them up like this. And we think we can sell it for this. But I said, who wants it?
Right.
He's like, I don't know. I said, well, how much are you going to invest in building this
before
you find who your buyer is? Well, same thing with your company. If you have some sense of what would success look like, not I want to make $1 million,
right,
but you know, what would it look like if it was perfect? Then you can start to design this. So the very, very beginning piece is get super clear on the finish line.
Yes,
and then you're not being busy being busy. You're being busy working toward a specific outcome. That's and doesn't that seem obvious, Connie? But yet,
it seems obvious. Well, like you said, people they'll hear it, they'll write it down, but they're not taking action. So you know, I go back to they didn't hear what was said. All they did was you know make that motion. Oh, that sounds good, and write it down without really listening to what that message was. And when I look back at in some of the simplest messages, and like you said, it's nothing new. It's not rocket science, but some of the simplest messages, I look back now and I'm like, oh yeah, now I get it. Now I know what they were talking about. You know, it's like, so like you said, I was used to be one of those people that were busy, busy. I was getting certifications. I mean, I have bookshelves full of certifications because, you know, I had to know everything. And then finally it was, you know, that, you know, light bulb. And it said, wait a minute, you have all these letters after your name. What are you doing with it? So I was being busy, but I wasn't making any progress until I really looked at that and then said, wait a minute, I have all the tools. I have all the knowledge. I have what it takes to grow this business. So it's really a shift in that mindset and how you take something that you already have. And that's a lot, you know, I work primarily with women in the C-suite. And when I work with them, it's how can I be heard in the boardroom? How can I be more visible in the boardroom? How can I be stronger? You know, how can my voice be heard? A lot of those same conversations are going on. And, and so when I'm working with them, it's you're already here. It's, you know, we need to change your mindset because you're not going to change anybody's mindset around you. It's you. You are the one that has to change on how you are perceiving and how you are behaving in that way. And then a lot of times they end up going out and wanting to start their own business. And that's where, you know, I want to make sure because we don't know what we don't know, but at the same time to step out and say, okay, don't get so busy in the details. You really need to keep that, you know, 900-foot view and let the other people do what they do best. And then that's how you know, that's really a formula for success. And I know that you have a specific formula. So what is that?
Well, first of all, I have a little formula called the Freedom Formula, which, if people want, I'm sure you'll have something in the show notes that shows how they can go to my website.
Yes.
So people can get the exact way I've laid it out with this acronym. But here's the bottom line. First, you have to have a real clear vision of exactly what success looks like. And people that go through the class, people that hire me to come into their company, they always have kind of a vague answer. And if you just push them a little bit, find out what they really want out of their business or out of their life, and you can get them clear on the vision. Then you have to design it. See, this is the other thing is that, especially going into a company that's already successful.
Right.
So I've gone into numerous companies, and and said, show me your organizational chart, you know, or draw it on the whiteboard in bold. You know, if you have a lot of employees, you know, you got to do it in chunks. But if you've got 30 employees, you can probably draw it pretty fast. If you have 5 employees, super easy. But almost everybody's organizational chart is screwed up. Almost every one of them is wrong. That almost everybody builds their business around people that have been around for a while, and they go, oh, so-and-so can do it. So-and-so will finish it. We'll put them in charge of that new thing.
Yes.
And what you end up is with this like lopsided organizational chart, and it doesn't really focus on the key elements that of revenue creation, of operations, and of keeping track. You know, your CFO, all your all your tracking stuff. And when people, just like you would build a house or building on paper first, if you go back and build a really great org chart that will it's like building an NFL football team. You don't have to have the players yet. You have to know what all the positions are.
Yes.
And once you get that part clear, and then you go out and you get those, you know, awesome players, those A-team players, and you put them in the right spots. And when you go into a new company, you're going to have people that have been there for a long time.
Yes.
And often are in the wrong place. Right. And so all of that stuff is the beginning part. You've got to get a vision. You got to get clear on paper. You got to start filling the positions with awesome people. I loved what you were saying. I have a similar saying that I heard somewhere, which is surround your people or yourself with people who play at the things you work at. And I thought, isn't that true? Because IT, I suck at IT, but somebody loves it. Right. I hate writing ad copy, but somebody loves it.
Yes.
Accounts payable, accounts receivable.
Oh, well, I don't. Like, that, I don't wanna, that drives me nuts. Yeah, I have somebody else totally does that.
Yeah, so let somebody else do that. And but they love it. They would hate to be on a stage giving a talk. They would hate to be doing an interview like this. They would hate. They'd freeze up. So surround yourself with people who play at the things you work at.
That you and work
then, as
at.
You know, surround yourself with people who are way smarter than you.
Yes.
Henry Ford, remember he was, everybody thought he was too stupid to be in charge of.
The best quote ever. They wanted to put him in prison.
They wanted to put
calling
him in prison.
Insane. Yes.
Yeah. And he said, I'm not the smartest. I surround myself with competent people. And it's just so correct. And yet most people hire people that they can control. And
that is so true. Yeah. It's the worst thing. Like you said, it's the worst thing. You want those creative minds around you. You want those people. But I love what you said. Hire the people that have fun that I'm working at. Like I said, if I have to do accounts payable, it's like I said, it just drives me crazy.
Forget it. It's terrible.
I'm like, oh my God.
We're not cut out for it.
No.
Almost no entrepreneur is. And actually most people who rise to the top of any other corporate organization, the personality that does that has got to stay out of the deep weeds.
Yes.
But they still have to know their numbers. They still have to know what's going on.
Right. You still have to do that. I mean, you know, you still have to be part of the budgeting, but like you said, that you can't get that deep into the weeds because then you're not doing what really needs to happen to grow the business.
Our job as the leader, in my opinion, and right now, I have 3 multi-million dollar companies that I'm running. Mm-hmm. And I've started lots of companies that I've been able to sell or merge into other things. And we've been very, very blessed. But, you know, the largest company, Laughlin, that I have right now, I spent exactly 3 days in the office last year. 1 day in March, 2 days in December. The rest of the time, I use Zoom like we're using right now.
Right.
I do video conference once a week with my team.
Yeah.
We have fantastic management people. My job in the organizational chart, my job is to hold the vision and to hold people accountable for the outcome that we've decided we're going to achieve.
Right.
That's my job. And everybody else is going to get lost in the weeds during the week. And my job once a week is pull them back.
Yes.
And say, what is the most important thing you can do next week between now and next week to get us closer to the goal? Yes. That's my job. And that's 900 foot. I'm probably more like 90,000 feet.
The number just keeps getting up there.
But I mean, if somebody works, now let me tell you, when I bought Laughlin, the founder had died. The founder had died. It was a 29-year-old company when I bought it.
Okay.
when I bought it, I had to be there. I had to fly down to Nevada. I live up in the Portland, Oregon area.
Okay.
I'd fly down Sunday night. I was there Monday through Thursday, mm-hmm. working very long hours. And I kept up that schedule. I'd leave Thursday night and fly home, then come back down Sunday night again. Mm-hmm. And I did that for about 2 years.
Okay.
I was deeply, deeply involved. But we had a lot of employees and we had to shift the culture. We had to get the finances right. We had to rethink how we engaged our client. We had to build it all again.
Okay.
But that was 2001. Here we are in 2017, 2016, 3 days in the office.
Wow.
And that's pretty typical. I've gone as long as 15, 16 months without going to the office.
Wow. That's even less than the 4-hour workday.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. Here's what the most successful people that I've met, it's not that they don't work, not that they don't put in time. It's that they're working on things they want to work on.
Right.
And they also have flexibility. They can say, oh, I can stop working on that now and do this other thing if mm-hmm. I want to, because they've designed a structure that is feeding their financial.
Right. And
now they can be as engaged in model train building or curing cancer or mm-hmm. starting another company or I don't know.
Whatever it might be.
But they can do it if they want. And they're the most accessible people, really successful people. Mm-hmm. You can get to them and talk to them.
Yes.
It's because they're not a slave to the schedule. They're doing what they want to do. One of the richest guys I ever met said to me one time, I said, I know you're so busy. I was a youngster. Yeah. He said, I know you're so busy. And he said, Aaron, I always have time to invest. I just don't have time to waste.
That's a great one too.
That's what wealthy people
are like. Yes. And that's the mindset that they have. I would love to keep talking about this. I'm interested myself. But but we need to take a really quick break. And when we come back, I want you to let our listeners know about your program or what you're doing. And then we're going to be putting you in the hot seat.
Ooh, I love it.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Greg Davis. Connie asked me to pop in for a moment to tell you about a great opportunity. Have you ever listened to a podcast and thought, I should be doing that, but I don't know how, I don't know where to start? Well, Up or Out with Connie Fife has partnered with Park Lane Media Group to offer you PMR podcast production. What is PMR? Production, marketing, response. The three key elements you need to successfully build your podcast success. For more information, visit parklanemediagroup.com or email podcast@parklanemediagroup.com and be sure to let them know that Connie sent you. You have a story to tell. We'll help you share it. Come to parklanemediagroup.com today and start building your podcast success.
And we're back and you're listening to Up or Out with WCONNIE. And joining us today is Aaron Young. And we, Aaron, well, let's first go to how can our listeners learn more about your program? I mean, I'm intrigued too. The Unshackled Owner.
The Unshackled Owner.
Yes.
Just go to AaronScottYoung.com. AaronScottYoung.com. And click the tab that says Programs.
Okay.
And you'll see how we're doing that. And there's a variety of ways I didn't know this was going to turn into a business. I didn't know this.
Okay.
I didn't intend it to become a business. I thought it was just a lot of my friends who didn't know how to put this structure together.
Right.
I said, I'll teach a class. I didn't have any clue over 1,000 people would reach out to me and say, I'm interested.
Wow.
In the first 2 days.
Right.
And it was, so then I thought, oh, I better address this felt need.
Yes.
And then now we've steadily had people joining the class, joining something that's much smaller for beginners and micro businesses called the Freedom Calls. Super inexpensive thing to do, $200 for the whole year.
Now, I want to jump in there because we talked about how we have some similarities. I have the Freedom Academy.
Oh, is that right?
Which is we do a lot of the Freedom Calls and, you know, the Freedom Action.
You call it the Freedom Call?
Yeah, I have the Freedom Call. Yeah, we had the Freedom Action.
So funny.
So yeah,
well, I know. We probably have. You're probably going to sue me for trademark infringement.
I know. We're gonna have to talk about that.
We call it the Unshackled Owner Freedom Call, and the acronym that I use for the formula is Freedom. But it's, you can keep it. I can change the name. The point is that, there's,
well, I don't use it as an acronym. I use the 5 P's. So we're a little bit different there.
Okay. I don't do anything like that. Anyway, the bottom line is that, if they go to AaronScottYoung.com and click on programs, they'll see everything that's there. If they want to go to my podcast, it's called The Unshackled Owner, iTunes, Stitcher, they can do all that. And there's a lot of great stuff there. The main thing is I'm not trying to cast a wide net. Okay. I'm really looking for people who are at a place in their business, whether they have a lot of employees or they have virtual assistants or they have a staff that's working virtually, you know, that's employed but doesn't work mm-hmm. under one roof. Doesn't matter. I'm looking for people who have reached a level of success, but they're not able to enjoy it because they're so busy being busy. That's the ideal person for me. There's a ton of great people out there teaching and coaching, but I am delighted to share what I've learned over these years of how to build something that will give you a life and give you lots of money.
Okay, great. Well, let's jump into the hot seat.
Ooh, I love it.
So this is where I'm going to ask you 10 questions and that you have to answer really quickly. Okay. And we're going to keep moving right through it.
All right.
So if you're ready.
I don't know if I could go fast, but let's
try. All right. So what advice would you give to your younger self?
Pay attention to the market. I've made some really stupid decisions over the years by thinking I was smarter than the market. And
we're not.
pay attention to the market.
What is your favorite success quote? And I know you've given some really great ones today.
The first billionaire I ever met, I said, what are the successes? And he said, two obvious ones: live within your means, buy low, sell high. But here's the thing. He said, if you're standing in line, you're probably in the wrong place.
And that jumps to how do you know which is the right line? Because you see those commercials where, you know, people are jumping, you know. So I love that. So did you know what you wanted to do right from the very start?
I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur from the time I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. 7th or 8th grade, I knew enough about the market that Disney was in trouble at the time.
Oh, okay.
They were close to bankruptcy. And as an 8th grader, I was sitting here going, I wonder how you could buy Disney. I don't want to go on the rides. I wanted to own Disney. And it's pretty silly as I look back now because I didn't know any better. But my mind was already going.
You're already going.
Somebody's going to fix it.
Right.
Why not me?
Gave me a laugh.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Okay. Well, all leaders know that we need to start somewhere. And we all have failures. And, you know, what was that failure? And when you can truly say, I found success through this?
My second company. So I started, my first company was successful.
It wasn't Disney.
No. I was one of the first recycling companies in the Northwest back in 1982.
Oh, okay.
And we ended up with 5,000 customers and we were having a great time. I mm-hmm. sold that business when I decided to get married because I didn't think this girl would be interested in basically a garbage man. So in 1986, I sold that business and I took all the money and I became one of the first cellular phone dealers in the Northwest and became quite successful. With multiple stores around the Northwest. Well, that was when I didn't pay attention to the market. Mm. And the industry utterly changed in 92. Okay. I thought I was young and dumb, and I thought I was smarter than all the people that were closing their shops up.
Right.
And I wasn't, and I ended up in bankruptcy court. Mm. And at 28 years old, well, my wife was pregnant, 9 months pregnant with our second baby. But I learned then to not let my ego get in the way of the writing that was on the wall. That didn't mean I couldn't think big, but don't think you're smarter than the market. And that was at 28 years old, I learned that I needed to be humble enough to learn and read and listen to lots of people and then make a choice on my own. And that was the moment, that was the aha moment for me. Be humble. Don't be cocky.
But yes.
Humility doesn't mean meekness. It means means teachableness. Are you teachable? Are you willing to learn? I noticed I just watched a Warren Buffett documentary that's on HBO, and it said he still reads 6-7 hours a day.
We watched that same documentary. Yeah, I was just amazed. And of course, the first thing that comes to your mind is, you know, why and how does he have time to do it? But like you said, he has designed his companies where he doesn't have to be there and he is doing what he enjoys doing.
So he comes in with a big idea and says,
yes.
Here's what we need to do with this, buy this railroad.
Yes. Right?
But you don't get that if you're not paying attention or reading.
Right.
So as a leader, look at the macro picture and let your people get the day-to-day work done.
And anyway, they're doing it.
That's the aha. Pay attention to the market.
Well, you just answered about three more questions, so we can just jump right back past because I was like, what's your aha moment? So you were a garbage man to start. I actually had a cleaning business. I was cleaning houses at the age of 10.
10?
10.
I think that's illegal now.
I know it is. But I remember I had my little basket on my bicycle. I would clean houses. I would do grocery shopping for people. And yeah, I...
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, like you said, sometimes when you think back, it's like, yeah, we had that entrepreneurial spirit at a really young age. You know,
Connie, let me ask you this. I know that I'm the hot speed. I'm supposed to go fast, but listen,
yep.
I don't know about your situation. I came out of a home that was very loving. Mom and dad loved each other, loved us kids. I was the oldest of five and we didn't have very much money. My dad was working two jobs. My mom was doing daycare and you had to learn to do something. You had to think about how do I have more if I want more?
Well, and, I had to learn. I lived with a woman who, my grandmother, and that's what we did to pay the rent. And we watched, she babysat kids during the day, which she was ill. She couldn't move. So I was doing it all. So for extra money, I would clean houses and it was survival. And that's what I did. And, you know, Christmas time, make cookies for everybody. And, okay, give me $2 for this can of cookies or whatever it was. But, I mean, I started recruiting neighborhood kids to work for me because I couldn't keep up with all the house cleaning. So I started getting other people to do it. And I was managing and, you know, taking care of the books and I hate it. No, so,
but
yeah.
But I hear you. No, I was doing that with painting, with turning apartment. We start young. If it's in your blood, it's in your blood.
Yeah, it is. It's in your blood, like you said. I mean, and I went from there. I worked all through high school. I had my own apartment when I was 16 because she died when I was 16.
Oh, my God.
All through high school and did it. And, you know, and I just think it makes you a stronger person. And so many people that I know, I really got off course now because I interviewed 50 of the top business women, Fortune 100, Fortune 500 women over the last couple of years for the next book I'm working on. Every one of them came from that type of a situation or that type of background because it just made them stronger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, millionaires and they own businesses, multiple businesses. And it just, you know, it's just what's, I know for me, it just made me stronger, you know, out of, you know, a need that we had to do that.
Yep.
So,
back to the hot seat.
Well, I probably know this answer then. Do you focus on any digital trends when it comes to your marketing?
What I do is I try to learn enough to send back to the marketing department. And so what the cool thing is I'm probably like you, I'm hearing a lot of things early stage because of the people I'm working with and at the conferences I speak at. Mm-hmm. And then I go, hey, this sounds cool. I'll go back here. But yeah. I'm not very hands-on other than Facebook and a little bit on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more a personal branding stuff than it is company building.
Yeah, and they are the personal. It's the LinkedIn, and I try to focus on that one and I try to know
I have
what
a
I'm
person
doing.
That does my LinkedIn stuff. An employee, a full-time employee who does my LinkedIn stuff.
Well, we're building up to that one. So if you knew now what you knew then, what words of wisdom do you have to offer to entrepreneurs that are pursuing their path?
Man, good question. Okay. I bet you've heard this a million times, but I think that we can play a big game early if we want to. You have to learn as you go, but here's the deal. I've one of the biggest lessons I've learned in being around a lot of people is that we all come into this world with certain superpowers. And once we can identify what that thing is that we're good at, like being the visionary, being the numbers person, being the organizer, being whatever it is, whatever your superpowers are, then it's an issue of audacity. How audaciously will you leverage that out into the market.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could, if you're organized, you could be the I don't know, you could be like the head captain of the dishwashing team in some big restaurant.
Right.
Or you can be the middle manager who always wins the cruise or the TV set or something like that. Or you can be the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You know, it's the same skill set. It's how willing are you to use it in a big way. And the more, as soon as you plant a flag that says, I'm going to do something significant, people come around you because everybody wants to follow a leader. Yeah. So the biggest mistake we made, the thing I wish I would have known younger is, I was as worthy as anybody to step up into a bigger role. And it took me a while to learn that. I mean, again, by 29, I was an officer of a large, you know, publicly traded multinational. So I was pretty young.
Right.
But it could have been, I could have been doing cooler stuff sooner. So just if you know what you're good at, don't be afraid to leverage it in a significant way to make a big difference for people. And you'll find yourself, you say you want to be on the Ellen show, you want to be on Fox News, you want to get interviewed on this show. All you have to do is start doing something that makes people care that you're doing something. You know, step up, quit being a wuss.
Exactly.
Quit hiding out. Just get on with doing something significant.
Well, Aaron, I would love to keep talking to you, but we are beyond our time. So I'm going to have to I know. So I'm going to have to close
3 hours.
Well, I think we could keep going 3 hours. We could do part 1, 2, and 3. But I want to thank you. Thank you for Aaron Young for being here today. So much information. So much great information about how you can be that unshackled owner. So check Aaron out on his website, and he has some information out there about his program, The Unshackled Owner, and his Freedom Calls. We'll talk about that one.
Yeah, we'll do that.
But thank you out there for being part of our community. Keep sending in your success stories. And I know for a couple of shows now, we haven't gotten to them because we have some fabulous guests, but we are adding them all to the website, our new website, which is launching this week. And I want to thank you all for sharing your stories. And thank you all for being motivated to take action. And be sure you subscribe to iTunes, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and somebody will be here listening to you. And I do try to answer them all myself. And you don't want to miss any of the good stuff, but it's been great being here with you today. And ask yourself, if you could do anything, what would you be doing right now? This is Connie, your unstoppable diva, and you're listening to Up Around with Connie. And until next time, be bold, be connected, and be unstoppable together.